Good morning, brothers and sisters. So good to see you. It's always good to come together to worship. We've had a good week, and then we woke up to this. It could be worse, I suppose. I'm glad you made it safely. Casey mentioned that and prayed. I'm glad you've made it safely. And hopefully the roads will clear up a little bit. You can make it safely home. You know, I told this to the earlier service. I don't know this song that we sang last. I've never sung it before. I didn't hear it before. I don't listen to the radio anymore because I can't hear very well. And so it's new to me, but the words, I was reading them as I was standing here, and the words I just kept thinking about when the race is complete. When the race is complete, we're gonna complete the race. We're all gonna complete it one way or another. We're gonna complete it in Jesus, or we're gonna complete it without him, one or the other. And so I'm gonna talk about that today because I want us to be sure. I want us to be absolutely sure in our minds. When the race is complete, I'm gonna be with Jesus because of the cross. Because of what was accomplished on the cross, when the race is complete, I'm going to be with Jesus. Yesterday we did another funeral, and I had an experience that I've never had before, because one of the sons of the man that passed away knew and loved the Lord, so he's gone home. Married a local lady here a long time ago and passed away, and so we did the funeral yesterday. But one of his sons was born deaf. And that boy was raised in the school for the deaf, and so obviously he knows sign language, and he had a whole bunch of friends here, including a pastor. They were all deaf, and so there was an interpreter here. And so for the first time ever, in my experience that I have done sermons or funerals or anything else, there was a sign language interpreter right here. She did it all. It was just fascinating. It was just fascinating. I don't know how they keep up. but what a fascinating thing to be able to communicate. And there was a whole section of folks sitting right over here. None of them could hear, but that's why she was here, to communicate to them everything that was being sung, whether we were playing over the system or whether I was speaking it or another pastor was here. She interpreted all of it. It was just fascinating, and I was just so thankful for that ability. For those that were sitting here that were born deaf or whatever, but yet they could participate with us. It was a new experience for me. Okay, let us press on to my topic this morning. I mentioned last week in Easter, I mentioned that I was going to drill down for a couple of weeks on the statement that I mentioned towards the end of last week's service, that statement that reminded us we don't get to go to heaven on our terms. And so I want to drill down on that a little bit more. And I mentioned to you, those of you that heard me last week, when Sherry and I were at the Christian Motorcycle Association retreat a couple, 3 weeks ago, the very first speaker on the very first session, the very first night, was the Christian Motorcycle Association CEO. And John spoke about a lot of things. We've heard John speak before, and he's very encouraging, very noteworthy. But I told you this last week, and I want to say it again. It just really caught my attention when he said, we don't get to go to heaven on our terms. Now, I'm pretty sure I got that figured out. And I'm pretty sure I've spoke to that before. But when he said that, it just resonated with me in such a manner, I immediately grabbed my little notebook and I wrote it down. And I thought, for some reason, this thought is different to me this time. Not different in a bad way, or not different that I don't agree, because I do agree. But it was different. It was an attention getting different to me. And maybe because I've done a bunch of funerals. Casey and I have already done a bunch of them this year. And that sentiment that I continue to hear over and over and over, and I don't want to minimize or judge or be critical, but that sentiment that I continue to hear over and over and over, well, he's a pretty good person, so he's in a better place now. And so, and maybe it's because I hear that so often that this phrase meant as much or more to me than this time than ever, but it just resonated with me, and I thought I gotta convey to us a week or two the importance of this statement and help us to remember one more time, it's only through the cross of Christ, only what was accomplished by the Son of God on the cross of Christ and the grace of God that we've just sung about, it's only through that that we'll be part of heaven someday. I fear, and I believe this was what John was referring to at the motorcycle pastor's retreat, when he said, we don't get to go to heaven on our terms. I fear way too much of the population today assumes I've been a pretty good person, I should make it. I'm going to speak to that just a little bit today. I want us to be crystal clear, friends, crystal clear. We don't get to go to heaven on our terms, but we can go on His. Every one of us can go on His terms. Let's start in John chapter 3. You know that story. Let me say this before I read just one verse in John chapter 3. Part of the reason I want to explain this for a week or two, because I fear a lot of people are assuming things that aren't biblically correct. So that's why I want to drill down today, maybe next week, on this topic. The first example comes from John 3, and you know this story as well as I do. But the Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus. I'm only going to read you one verse. But he comes to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, we know that you must be from God, because nobody does what you do that ain't from God. I'm paraphrasing, but this is in the story. And Jesus answers to him, unless one is born again, he will never see the kingdom of heaven. And so they have that dialogue. How in the world am I supposed to be born again when I'm already old? How am I going to enter a second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus comes back to him in verse 5, chapter 3 of John, with this statement. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, okay? They've been talking about the natural birth. How am I going to be born again? Am I going to enter a second time into my mother's womb? Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, which has already happened because Nicodemus is already born and he's alive, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he's saying there's this spiritual connection if I'm going to be part of heaven. If I'm going to be part of the kingdom of God, there's this spiritual rebirth that must happen, Nicodemus, or you won't see it. You won't enter it. Jesus is crystal clear in this conversation with this religious leader, I might add. Nicodemus, religion is not what I'm looking for. I'm not saying religion is bad, but I'm saying if religion is what I've hung my hat on, I'm missing the good news of Jesus. And Jesus is crystal clear here to this person that is very religious. Unless you are born of the Spirit, Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And quite frankly, it's the same with us. We cannot be part of the kingdom of God on our terms. Nicodemus was a good person. Nicodemus was a religious person. But Jesus told him very clearly, unless you've had a heart transformation, that's the spiritual rebirth he's talking about, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, even though you're good and even though you're religious. You will never enter it. I think too many people think, and maybe too many churches teach, there's a lot of roads to heaven. I fear that's way too common today. There's a lot of that teaching, and I fear some of it's coming from churches. There's a lot of roads to heaven. That's not what Jesus said here. Amen? You still with me? When we're under the impression, well, I'm a good person, or in Nicodemus's case, I'm a religious guy, I should be good to go. When we're under that impression, we are mistaken. I'm a pretty good person isn't God's terms. I want to give you one more example before I press on. And I've told you this story before, so some of you have heard it. Forgive me if it's repetitive. Some of you haven't. But every year there's a national prayer breakfast. The president and a lot of dignitaries typically go. Hundreds of people are there, and they invite a guest. When President Obama was the president, they invited former race car driver Darrell Waltrip, and I mentioned this to you so some of you know the story. But Darrell told his story, and if you've never heard his testimony, you can actually Google Darrell Waltrip and put in National Prayer Breakfast, and the 28-minute testimony, it's going to come right up. You can listen to it. Well, Darrell was standing there in this particular National Prayer Breakfast. President Obama right to his right, dignitaries beyond that, other dignitaries to his left, and hundreds of people out. And he told his story, race car driver. He told of his successes, and he told how he lived. And then he got partway through the story, and he said, and I quote, "I thought I was a pretty good guy." And then he said this, and I quote, "Folks, let me tell you something. Good guys go to hell." And then he said this, "If you've never repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to be master and Lord of your life, you're just a pretty good guy." End quote. He said a lot more than that. But that's the gist of what I'm talking about. I fear that too often our thought process is, I'm a pretty good guy. I should make it. I had this conversation in the hospital in the last couple of weeks. And the rationale was, I've been a pretty good neighbor. And I agreed, yes, you have been a good neighbor. But that's not how we get to heaven if I've been a good neighbor. Yes, we should love our neighbor as ourself when we love the Lord with all of our heart, strength, soul, and mind. And so this rationale concerns me. Obviously, it concerned CEO John Ogden. This rationale that I encounter, and Casey is already encountering it because we do funerals together, this rationale that I'm a pretty good person, I should make it, is concerning to me, because we must address our sin. We must decide about Jesus. We don't get to go to heaven on our terms. We go on His terms. Point number two, I got to press on because time is pressing on. Hebrews 12:14. Just a couple of other verses I want us to ponder about this morning. Hebrews 12:14. The writer says this: pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without, he's talking about holiness, which no one will see the Lord. Friends, may I just remind us for a moment, the creator of the entire universe, the creator God who breathed into Adam and Eve the breath of life that we each of us have, we become a living soul, the creator of all things good, may I just remind us, He is holy. He is holy. I love the scene in Revelation 4 and 5. If you've not read it lately, read it and be reminded, God is holy. And I fear that in America's churches, at least, I'm not sure about all around the world, we have forgotten to emphasize God is holy. And nothing unholy is going to come into His presence. Nothing. And so the writer of Hebrews says, we need to arrive at that place through the cross and faith in Christ, to that place of holiness. The Old Testament says, God said it, the New Testament said again, be holy because I, God said, am holy. And so the writer of Hebrews reminds us, pursue peace with all people and holiness, because without it, you will never see the Lord. And so we've got this scriptural directive that says we must have a spiritual heart transplant. We must be committed to Christ, striving to live for Him, obedient to His word in holiness, or we'll never see Him. These are fairly clear, are they not, friends? And so I ask us this morning to ponder for a minute, is your life holy? Is my life holy? And I'm not saying, well, I got to try harder. I'm saying, have I surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit of God to move me into the direction that God would have me to live? And is He changing who I used to be to who He wants us to be? I got a compliment this morning. I think it was a compliment, although I'm not sure. I was visiting with, right back here by the door, I was visiting with a guy I graduated with high school. And I have another classmate or two here now, they might concur. But anyway, I'm visiting with this high school classmate, graduated with the same year I did. And he says to me when I get back there to him, he said, you are not the same person you were in high school. And I said, thank you, Lord. That's what the Word is talking about. Have we arrived at that place? Okay, I've been to church. Okay, I got baptized. Okay, I'm a pretty good neighbor. Have we arrived at that place? But I need Jesus. But I need Jesus. Have I arrived at that place that says I'm a sinner? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Have I arrived at that place that I've decided I need Jesus? And have I allowed Jesus to come into my life, the Holy Spirit of God, to come in and move me and transform me and move me into that place of sanctification or holiness? Because the writer of Hebrews said, without it, I'm never going to see the Lord. I could say so much more on that. I talked about the veil. I talked about God being behind the veil. In Good Friday, I spoke to this and how common people, ordinary people, nobody could get to a holy God. He's holy. We couldn't get there except for the blood of Jesus. And so there's more can be said about that. And let me just say this, and I'm going to press on because time is. God sent his son to die. We just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. God sent his son to die for our sin, to open the veil, to give us access to God the Father. But Jesus didn't die, so we continue to remain in sin. He didn't die in vain. He didn't die, so we continue on the pathway that we used to be on that leads to destruction. And so for me, and I could turn to Romans 6, but I don't have time to. You can read it. We could use the argument, well, the grace of God, God in his grace is not a license for me to continue in my sin. God is holy, and sin will not come into his presence. Without holiness, no one will see God. When we're going through life, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, but when we're going through life and thinking that all roads to lead to heaven are the thought that I'm a pretty good guy, I should make it, or this tragic thought that I've heard just recently, I've been a good neighbor, I think I'll go ahead and take my chances when I get to the pearly gates. It's alarming to me because we're talking about hell or heaven forever. And if I'm basing, I'm gonna be part of heaven because I'm a pretty good guy, and we've never addressed Jesus. Well, we don't get to be part of heaven on our terms. Let me say this, another scripture too, and I'll quit. I'm not here to suggest someone did or did not make it to heaven. That's not my call. I'm not here to suggest that for someone that has passed, we've done their funeral, they did or didn't make it, that's not my call. I am suggesting there should be some evidences, the Bible is clear about that, but that's not my call. But I am absolutely here to warn us that the current thinking in America is alarming to me, because here's what it boils down to. I'm not a mass murderer. I'm not a serial rapist. I'm not convicted of some other heinous crime, so I'm good to go. That thinking concerns me. Because that thinking is the same as Darrell Waltrip used to be. I thought I was a pretty good guy. But he realized I'm on the wrong side of the cross, and until I repent of my sin and come to faith in Christ and let the Spirit of God come in and move me from who I used to be to who he wants me, I'm just a pretty good guy. That thought concerns me. Because if I'm banking I'm a pretty good guy, we're going to miss eternity. By 18 inches, pretty good guy up here, didn't translate to anything here. In Luke 6:46, I just want to reiterate this verse and one more. You've heard me repeat this verse before. I want to repeat it again. Jesus is speaking to would-be followers. And he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" It boils down to this, friends. Do I love the Lord enough to be obedient to him and his word? That's what Jesus is talking about. I've told you a whole bunch of things, Jesus said, as he walked and as he taught and as he did miracles. And he said, "Why do you call yourself a Christian and you don't do what I say?" That's what he's saying to us in the 21st century. Why do you say, "Jim, you're a Christian, you don't do nothing I say"? And it boils down to this, and one of the speakers at the Christian Motorcycle Association mentioned this, and I wrote that down too, because I thought, man, that is so profound. He said, "Do I love the Lord enough to be obedient to his word, to the moving of his spirit in my life, or do I still love me?" That's what Jesus is talking about. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? There should be evidences. Is Jesus Lord of my life? And the last verse I wanted to share this morning, I've read this a lot of times, and I know that you've heard it, but I just want us to think about this, because this mentality, Nicodemus was a good person. Nicodemus was in the synagogue every week, but this mentality, "I'm a pretty good person, I should make it," is dangerous unless we have met Jesus, unless we have encountered Jesus, unless we have surrendered to Jesus. This thinking, "I'm a pretty good person," is eternally dangerous. Matthew 7:21. Jesus has taken the multitudes through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's great teaching. I love reading it. I read it many times a year. And he gets down to the last few verses, Matthew 7:21, 2, and 3. And here's what he concludes. He's speaking to people that say, "I'm a Christian," even though that terminology wasn't in their vernacular at that point. It was sometime later. But that's who he's speaking to. And here's what he says. "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." And if he left it at that, we would think, what in the world? We would say, like the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" Remember when they said that? And he said, "All things are possible with God." So he says to his listeners that day, hundreds of them sitting there on the mountainside, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." What's the will of the Father? That we're born again, that we walk with Jesus, that we live holy lives because of the Spirit of God living in us. What's the will of God? That I be obedient to his word because I love him. "Not everybody that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, he's saying to us in the 21st century, not everybody that says, "Well, I'm a Christian," is the next, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he or she that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Then he says this, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" In other words, there's going to come a time when people are standing before Almighty God. They're going to be standing before the Son of God, and they're going to be judged. And some of them are going to argue, "But God, I did some demon casting out. They called me a prophet. They called me a deacon. They called me a Sunday school teacher." He said, "Unless you've done the will of my Father, you will not be part of the kingdom of heaven." And there will be people that come to that point in the scope of eternity and said, "But God, In his reply, according to the words of Jesus, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." That's pretty serious stuff, friends. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm just about done. Are you hearing me? This is pretty serious stuff. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. And I ask myself, I read this Matthew 5, 6, and 7 a lot of times every year, and I ask myself, who in the world, because I've encountered this conversation in the last few days, who in the world wants to get to that point and gamble, "I think I'll make it"? Who wants to get to that point and gamble, "I think I'll make it," only to hear the words, "I never knew you. I never knew you." Friends, listen to me. It's not based on, have I done enough good deeds? It's not based on, is my name written on some church membership? Wasn't a Good Friday? I talked about the thief on the cross a minute. It's not based on, was I baptized? Because that guy didn't get baptized. But what have I done with Jesus? What have I done with Jesus? It isn't even based on if I'm a pastor. If I haven't been born again, I can be a pastor all day long and go to hell. You must be born again, Nicodemus. Darrell Waltrip is right, you know. I was a pretty good guy. But good guys go to hell. And if I'm just going through life thinking I'm a pretty good guy, and I've never repented of my sin, and I've never embraced Christ by faith and committed to follow Jesus, I'm just a pretty good guy. And a pretty good guy is going to hear that on that day. "I don't know who you are." That's what's going to happen on that day. And so that's why I share this with you today, because of the seriousness, what I continue to hear over and over and over. And I know I'm speaking to the crowd, speaking to the choir here, but that thought, that idea, I've been a pretty good neighbor, I've been a pretty good guy, and so when I get to the pearly gates, I'll take my chances. That's concerning to me, eternally speaking. So I want you to be clear in your mind, it's only through the cross of Jesus Christ. Gals, let's get ready to sing this song. It's only through your repenting of sin, embracing Jesus Christ by faith, subscribing and believing He is God. He died for my sin, and I know that I need Him if I'm ever going to be part of His kingdom and commit to follow Him. It's only through Jesus. It's only through Jesus that we're going to be part of the kingdom of God that day. And so I want to clear that up for us, because I don't want us to be caught up in what I fear the world is caught up in. I'm a pretty good guy. I should make it. I don't want us to be caught up in that. That's a lie from the devil. The devil wants you to think, I'm a pretty good person. I get to church once in a while. Have you been born again? Have you committed your life to Christ? Have you decided to follow Jesus? That's what it's about. Someone once said, no decision for Jesus is a decision for eternity. Still with me? No decision for Jesus is a decision for eternity. And this song kind of sums it up. Have you decided about Jesus? If you're still wondering about that, please see Casey or I. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Please help us to help you understand, he that has a son has life. He that does not have the son does not have life. And you can know that you have eternal life. This life is in the son, John writes in 1 John chapter 5. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for making the way to you very possible for everyone through the cross of Christ and your Son. And I pray, Heavenly Father, again today that nobody in this congregation or really in churches anywhere is confused about the idea, well, I'm pretty good, I think I'm good enough. I pray that we would make a decision to follow Jesus. And if we haven't done that, I pray we do it soon. I pray that for our communities, O Lord, and our nation, and really billions around the globe, that we would decide to follow Jesus. And so, Father, if we haven't arrived at that point, I pray that your Spirit would would continue to impress upon our spirit. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Time is running out. When will we decide to follow Jesus? When will we commit our lives to Christ? Help us with that, Lord, if we haven't got there. Encourage and strengthen all that are here. Some are hurting. Some have got treatments and surgeries and such ahead of them. Some of them will lose their family members. Walk with everyone. Encourage them, strengthen them, and guide them, Father, to a closeness to you that is so real. They just know that they know it's going to be okay because I've decided to follow Jesus. Either here or there, it's going to be okay because I have decided to follow Jesus. Walk with each and every one. I pray this day and this week. In the name of Jesus, amen.